This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning. Happy week four. Who Dat Nation, Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele here on First Take, getting you ready for a matchup in Atlanta. The Falcons hosting the Saints this week. Obviously, NFC South showdown, always a big one, guys. They always say counts for two, so we got to be two times as good this morning, gentlemen. Charlie's like, oh, yeah, God.
Let's get into it. I thought you were going a little bit longer with that, Steve. I'm still just like you, dusting off a little bit of the cobwebs from last night, but let's get into it.
I'm mulling over my fantasy roster already early this morning because, you know, once we get into the nitty-gritty of things, it's hard to focus on that when you're getting
your
ready
Saints
for pregame.
Player decisions, right? Because Alvin is leaning towards playing. That is the probable one as far as Olave being a game-time decision. That's a little bit different. What kind of decisions are you talking about here, Steve?
I'm curious in my big money league, so it's like right now I have on my bench with an option to put in either Olave, Rashid Shaheed, or Taysom Hill, and I could use Taysom obviously in that tight end spot.
This could be a huge game for Taysom. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it is, because that means that the Saints offense is going to be rolling, but you're talking about how much the Saints missed him last week against the Eagles when they desperately needed a power game on the ground.
Right.
I mean, the rushing attack just was not working against those two big fellas up front, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, who Bobby and I were joking after the game, that's like 700 pounds of meat there that you're trying to run right into, and it just didn't work last week.
And now what do you know? The Tampa Bay Bucks get to deal with that this week.
Yeah, have fun. You know, this is where, you know, you're angry that the Eagles won last week, but you're kind of rooting for them on the road in Tampa. Go take care of the Bucks.
Right, they better not lay an egg in Tampa after
here. You know they are. That's exactly what's going to happen. So just don't even worry about it and take care of business against Atlanta. That's what I have to say.
For sure, and we're talking about some of the injuries with the Saints. Obviously, the biggest news, I think, going into this game for sure, LCMC health update. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Talked about Taysom Hill missing in action last week. Well, he's been a full go at practice this week going into this matchup against Atlanta. The Dirty Bird Killer will be in action. He was no injury designation going into the game. Obviously a positive there. Derek Carr being on the injury report this week concerned a lot of people. You see him with a groin injury, but was able to be a full go during the week. Not sure, obviously, when that occurred in-game for him against the Eagles, but he definitely got rocked there right at the end when he threw up that interception.
Yeah, he got popped. And that's the concern, right? Like, the offensive line, and we'll get into defensive line, too. But
offensive line,
It is very, very much makeshift for this game. Without Eric McCoy, and, I mean, you got to kind of take what happened last week with a grain of salt because you lose the glue. He is the glue that holds the castle together.
The guy, right?
Yes, Eric McCoy. I mean, losing Derek Carr is one thing, losing Eric McCoy is another. So you lost your glue guy like five plays into the game. And then it's just, it kind of all crumbled around. But you're more prepared this week to deal without him. And so you have the line set up. I know John Hendricks put out the tweet. Basically, Deuce and Hollis were talking about this on Fans in the Pro, is just how do you want to kind of play this? Do you want to potentially make three different decisions on the interior? Because Cesar Ruiz is out too.
Right.
So you're without your center and your right guard. So how
Ruiz had a knee injury, didn't practice all week. Like you mentioned, he was out. Just want to finish up with some of the health stuff.
Oh, yeah.
DeMario Davis, hamstring, he is out. That is obviously big. We'll get into that as well. Kamara didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, limited. He's questionable, dealing with hip and ribs. A.T. Perry popped up with a hamstring issue on Thursday, didn't practice back-to-back days. He is out. And then you look at that, some questionable guys in Cedric Wilson Jr. and the other biggie at wide receiver, Chris Olave. Hamstring for Olave. Wilson Jr. dealing with an ankle issue. He didn't practice on Friday at all after being limited. Olave just popped up on Friday in limited action. So I know there's been reports out there that both Kamara and Olave are expected to play in this one, though.
Kamara for sure. Olave, they keep saying they're confident
leaning
that he'll
towards
play. Right, but they haven't flat out said that he's going
so
to
I
play.
So I should keep him on my fantasy bench.
We'll see. Like, once it gets to, you know, 11:35 and they finally make the decision,
yeah.
Oh, game time decision, he's good to go, that's when you could probably play him. John
yeah,
Hendricks,
back to our O-line
yes,
stuff, right?
Right, real quick. John Hendricks said that he projected the Saints O-line to look like this today. Taliese Fuaga, obviously at left tackle, he's good to go. Then at left guard, Lucas Patrick, staying at the left side, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second.
Yeah.
Shane Lemieux at center, and then Landon Young at right guard, and Trevor Penning at right tackle. So your tackles are both playing. Both your starting tackles are good to go. They decide, instead of changing three positions, which would you would have to do by moving
Patrick
to center, which he has played in the past, and I think he filled in last week once, you know, McCoy went down.
Right.
Instead, they decide to leave him at left guard. So you keep three of your starting positions. You had to only change two of them. And what they did was they put in Shane Lemieux and potentially Landon Young to be filling those two spots.
Shane Lemieux, how many starts has he had at center?
Not many.
None.
Yeah.
This will be his first one. So that's the biggest concern for me, obviously, and with that. I've heard everybody talking about that, and I expected Patrick, honestly.
And yeah, no, I did too, kind of. But they decided they wanted their three spots to stay the same, and they only wanted to change two. Because if you move Lucas Patrick from left guard to center...
I get that. Keep the continuity that you can.
Right. Keep the continuity that you can. And we heard this all throughout the offseason, that Taliese is very comfortable next to Lucas Patrick. Like, a veteran presence that has been uplifting him throughout his young career. Someone that he loves playing right next to. So, you know, I can understand keeping the left side of the line intact, but you're putting a lot of confidence in Shane Lemieux. And this is why losing McCoy was such a big deal. Because, like, you're putting a lot of confidence in someone that really hasn't played center to play center. Like, yes, he probably can do it. He's an NFL pro. He's a veteran. He's been there and done that. Well, he hasn't been there, done that as far as playing center. But he's played along the interior of the line.
Like you mentioned, though, too, having the entire week at least to get ready is
yes.
a lot more beneficial than just, here you go, throw you in there, McCoy's hurt, you got to go swim.
And they'll have plans for it, right? Like, at the same time, you know that the left side of your line is intact. And that's kind of what you're going to be focusing on, I think, your offense around. So, granted, you know, teams will see weaknesses and they'll do all they can to exploit it. So you can bet that Raheem Morris and the Falcons have a plan to attack that offensive line, especially on the right side, with Landon Young playing right guard potentially, and then also Shane Lemieux playing center.
On the positive side of things, obviously, the you know, we mentioned the offensive line problems for the Saints, but the Dirty Birds are banged up as well. They won't have their starting center.
Yeah,
a weird
Drew Dahlman,
twist of fate on that.
Drew Dahlman, and then they're also without right tackle Caleb McGarry.
Right.
So, yeah, two offensive linemen for each team that were both lost in the
Even
week
Stevens
prior.
Even Stevens going into this one.
Yeah, no, and so... I mean, this is we'll just dive into it. This is a gigantic game for the Saints defensive line. We've seen Kirk Cousins. He's still not even a full year removed from that Achilles injury, by the way.
Yeah.
He can't move. He really can't. Like, it's gotten maybe slightly better from that debut against the Steelers, where he quite literally was moving like 2 yards per dropback. I think it was 3.1. The guy is a statue back there. If you can get pressure on him, the issue is that Atlanta's offensive line, I mean, entering the year, we all kind of saw it as maybe the best in the NFC South and one of the better offensive lines in the NFC, in all honesty. If you can get after him, like, we can figure some things out defensively. Like, offensively, there's some issues. We know that the offensive line is banged up. We know the kind of talent is banged up with Taysom is obviously going to play, but coming off a chest injury, got to be a little careful with them there. Alvin Kamara is expected to play, but he was also dealing with some injury issues. The injury report was long this week, Steve. Chris Olave could potentially play. They have offensive issues.
And just like stud after stud, you're like, what's going on here? After we were all like riding high after weeks one and two, obviously.
But Atlanta's losing two offensive linemen for this game.
Yeah.
Just straight up say it. Carl Granderson. Like, come on. Chase Young. Cam Jordan, Brian Bercee, like Cam has had a tough year, like, but he loves playing against the Falcons, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, maybe he'll like channel some of the past aggressions against Matt Ryan and display them on Kirk Cousins today.
The potential return of Colin Saunders in this game, like he should be
big
good
up
to go.
For the middle right,
but also Nathan Shepard. Like, come on, guys, just go dominate this game. This is a game that if the Saints are going to win, the defensive line A has to get after Kirk Cousins when they're asked to. I mean, once again, he's kind of a statue back there. You're not expecting him to be rolling out of the pocket and extending plays and going downfield.
You don't have
right?
to know what QB design runs today.
So Mike always talks about this, right? Blowing up the middle, right? Blowing up right in front of his feet.
In
if they
the
can
face,
get some
right?
interior pressure without Drew Dolman there, their starting center, like if Percy or you know Shepard or whoever it is, even Saunders can get some pressure up the middle and create some sacks, because the Saints have been pretty solid this year as far as sack totals go. They got 11 already, and that was something that we didn't see last year. So it's already been an improvement. Carl Granderson looks great early on this season. Get after Kirk Cousins. But at the same time, to get to those situations, as Mike always says, and Deuce always says this as well, you're in the right to rush the passer, right? You got to stop the run. You got to keep, you know, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier from getting off on
that
you.
Duo scares me, honestly.
It does, but at the same time, you don't know what kind of impact it will be felt without those two offensive linemen as well in their rushing attack.
Well, hopefully a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the same way with the Saints, so it's kind of back and forth. But the Saints defense, cause this could be a huge game, because you know that the Falcons have all the flashy weapons. They've spent all these premier draft picks and got the Mercedes, right? they have Kyle Pitts, who they drafted fourth overall, and Bijan Robinson, who they drafted, I think, eighth, and same thing with like Drake London, right? They got all these fancy weapons that they want to utilize. And even guys like Darnell Mooney, a former Tulane guy, has been really awesome to start the year for them. And I know that D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said, basically told us that Kirk Cousins has already a great connection with someone like Darnell Mooney, maybe even better than one with like Drake London. But I'm not really worried about the Saints' back end versus these weapons, maybe a little bit with Kyle Pitts based off of what they did to Dallas Goedert last week. But at the same time, just get after Cousins. Like, don't even give them the time. If they can put pressure on them, get them on the ground a few times. Once again, 11 sacks, which I think is number 6 in the NFL, tied for 6. I'll double-check that number for you. But just get after them. That's a huge, huge key in this game.
Yeah, like you mentioned, obviously, after Goddard going off, the Pitts matchup seems a bit daunting. But at least he's not a typical tight end. I kind of worry about the size too of Drake London, obviously a big physical dude. I don't know, to me this year, maybe getting to see more of the Falcons games in prime time. And, you know, after, you know, we got off the air, I think we've seen what the Eagles matchup, that was a primetime game. And then they had the matchup against Kansas City in primetime.
Yeah, right.
So we got featured a lot of Falcons, and I don't know, Drake London just looked a lot bigger this year to me.
Yeah, no, it's because he's finally got a quarterback thrown to him. I mean, like, they had Desmond Ridder thrown his way and Taylor Heineke. I mean, come on. So Kirk Cousins, a legit, I think, 13-year veteran. By the way, the sack numbers with 11, they're tied for 5th. But get, like, I don't know if I could have, like, even guess this entering the year. Who's number 1 in sacks? Do you know, Steve?
Alante Taylor.
No. As far as like team sacks, like the most sacks for a team this year.
Who is it overall in the NFL?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
They have 16 sacks. I mean, I remember kind of slamming what the Vikings did this offseason by getting rid of their pass rushers, like letting Daniil Hunter go, and they basically lost 26 sacks of production from their defensive ends. I guess it didn't matter. They're sitting with 16 early on. So as far as that, the Saints have gone off to a really good start defensively. But at the same time, this is a big test.
Do you know offhand where the Saints rank behind Minnesota leading the NFL in sacks?
So they're 5th. They're tied for 5th.
Okay.
With 11. Now they're tied with teams like Buffalo and Denver, Green Bay, and Seattle.
Man, talk about Denver. They really came into Tampa last week and put a whooping on them.
Yes, they did. I mean, I don't even think the Saints necessarily laid an egg. Like, I think laying an egg is like what Tampa just did.
No, they like, certainly did not lay an egg. It was a hard-fought game.
And Philly's a good team. Like, so you kind of tip your cap.
Even though the coach seems a bit loony.
Their coach, it's so funny, because like folks in Philly sports talk radio are just still screaming for Sirianni's head after that win. They're just like, what is this dude doing? And they're right. He's a pretty bad coach, and we'll see if we can meet him again.
We're taking a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Getting our pregame going, waking up. What a wild night, too, in college football. Obviously, LSU flexing their muscles, but man, oh, man, that game in Tuscaloosa was drunk, Charlie.
3-0 week in college football for pick six.
Oh, someone likes that.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to take a break when we get back. More of First Take here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Stay tuned.
Listen, man, Atlanta has always been good to me, you know, since my freshman year at LSU. So, you know, I love going up there and, you know, making a player or two.
Back here on First Take, we're hoping to see that player too from Tyrann Mathieu, Saints safety. Said he likes going to Atlanta. You know, has had some good times since being an LSU Tiger up in those parts.
Yeah, let's kind of extend that lead, I would say. Right now, the Saints lead the all-time series 55-54. But if you ask the Falcons, they'll include that playoff game.
Right, of
and
sure.
And it'll be 55-55. So, real quick, we got a text on our text line here, Steve, and it's from 0198. It said, "What's up, crew? Dennis Allen needs to know when to use a zone defense. It was bad coaching at the end of the game." You bet. Yeah, 100%. And so, I think Bobby had asked DA about that on the Saints coaches show this past Monday, and he didn't really give an answer about why he was doing that. And like the 3rd and 16 scenario, right, where they were trying to make sure that Dallas Goedert didn't get the ball, and then three players ran into each other, and Dallas Goedert gets a 61-yard gain down the field. So they kind of picked themselves, so to speak, which opened up such a gigantic space. That was just a defensive breakdown at the worst possible time. At the same time, yeah, I kind of agree with this texter that they should have probably been playing zone in that situation, but we kind of move on, right?
Talking about defense, and I mentioned it obviously real quick in our injury update, but man, the importance, and I mean, not the importance, but the problems of not having a key guy on the field and, you know, around for you in DeMario Davis, it just seems massive going into this game, too.
Yeah. Because you want to stop the Falcons' rushing attack, and DeMario Davis is a dog, and he'll get up and be physical. At the same time, like, you got Pete Warner there, you got, you know, Willie Gay ready to go. I don't think they made any elevations from the practice squad on defense.
Not defense, but they did elevated, Kyle Hergel, right?
One of my favorite
offensive linemen.
One of my favorite interviews from this past offseason. Kyle Hergel's such a dude. Like, he's such a guy. He's fantastic.
Football IQ seems to be very high with him, too, which you love. He just seems to kind of like eat, breathe, and sleep it kind of thing.
A UDFA that I was really hoping would make the team. He makes the practice squad, and now he gets elevated to the active roster because of injuries on the interior offensive line. Hoping for the best for him, man.
Next man up, like they say, of course, and we'll see what can if the young man gets some action today in this matchup against the Dirty Birds. And you going into the game, obviously you drop the game to the Philadelphia Eagles at home. Shake it off, bounce back. This one, as you mentioned, so much more important just because, you know, you're getting back into divisional play here, and it's tight already, you know, obviously. And the front load of this schedule, you're hit with NFC South opponents right out the gate. Going to have this game, then you go on the road in Kansas City next week, but then, bam, you're right back at it again, too, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we know Tampa's 2-1, Saints are 2-1, Falcons 1-2 right now, Panthers also 1-2 after getting their first victory, the Andy Dalton-led Carolina Kitty Cats able to survive there. But against the Falcons, man, oh man, you know that this is just a rivalry matchup that people are so keyed in on.
So real quick, this is a stat that Schefter just put out about Andy Dalton, just because it's a fun little note. Strange but true, since the Bengals cut Andy Dalton, he's played for four different NFC teams, and each time he started a game against his former Bengals. He started for the Cowboys in 2020 against the Bengals. In 2021, he started for the Bears against the Bengals. 2022, started for the Saints against Cincinnati. In 2024, starting today for the Panthers. So he's been on four different squads, and every single time he's come back to face his old team with the Bengals.
Yeah, they asked him this week, what's it going to be like, Andy, facing your old team? He's like, I've kind of done this a lot already.
Yeah, it's the fourth time. It's interesting. I don't know. So I'm sure he's probably tired of answering those questions. But yeah, it's just gigantic, this game. I mean, if you can get off to a 3-1 start and 2-0 in division play, like I always say, the 2-for-1 games, that's so huge. And I think Halston made this point, and I'll have to double check the schedule. But once you reach week 10, when you play the Falcons in the Superdome, that's the last NFC South game until week 18.
Wild to think about, because that's completely opposite of what we've seen in the past.
It's so front-loaded. Like, you're playing five of your first 10 weeks are against NFC South opponents.
Right.
And then your sixth NFC South game comes in week 18. So you have a chance to get off to a good start. I mean, 2-0 in the NFC South is big for one, but also not necessarily burying them because it's still very early. And I would have said it more likely had they lost that game to the Eagles like they were supposed to, and you had a chance to drop them to 0-4. But 1-3 is still a pretty big hole that you have to dig yourself out of. So it's
especially division-wise, obviously.
Yeah, correct. But it's like the 2-for-1, so to speak, right? Where you can kind of catapult yourself to 3-1, and we'll, you know, hope that the Eagles can go to Tampa and take down the Buccaneers and drop them to 2-2. But then you're also dropping your rival, the team that everyone expected to just, you know, make the leap and win the NFC South this year, to 1-3 early on in the season. They should be 0-4 because the Eagles should have beat them, but whatever. But 1-3 is still a pretty big hole early on in the season.
Tyrann Mathieu also talked about rebounding after a loss, obviously how key that is.
You know, obviously this Sunday, man, like, doesn't take, you know, a lot to get up for this one. You know, it's the Falcons, it's a divisional game, and, you know, if we want to be a good team, we got to find a way to not lose two games in a row, you know, and just get back on the positive side.
He mentioned that right there, Charlie, obviously so key. Good teams find a way not to lose two games in a row. So it's obviously stung that the Saints, you felt, could have extended their record to 3-0 in the season. Oh, well, boo-hoo, it's over with. We're on to week four. And now you just got to make sure you don't get to 2-2, obviously.
Right. And that's why, you know, I'll put a lot of pressure on the defense because it doesn't feel like the Falcons' offense is clicking right now. And I'll give you a couple numbers to back up that. Because, I mean, once again, as we mentioned, they got all the weapons. They got all the fancy toys with Pitts and, you know, Algier's not necessarily fancy. He's kind of an old style, like, downhill running back, like, punch you in the mouth. But, like, Drake London. And now Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson, who Mike has said may be the next great NFC running back. But as far as the Falcons' offense, the one thing that's, you know, Deuce had pointed this out, and I used this for one of the Sunday morning reports, was that their third down offense has been bad, has been, like, legitimately terrible. They're 29th in the NFL in third down rate right now. I know it's 3 weeks, so it's not the biggest sample size in the world, but they're converting third downs at a 22.22%. 22%. So if you can get them into those favorable third down situations, once again, their offense isn't necessarily clicking right now. Scoring average, I mean, the Saints are giving up 14.7 points per game, which is top five in the NFL. The Falcons are scoring 16.3, which is 26th. So even with all these weapons and the new quarterback, I know they've gone against some good defenses. The Steelers have a fantastic defense. Like, the Chiefs have a pretty good defense and when they want to be.
And like, when the refs help.
Yeah, and then the Eagles. So it's not like they've been playing scrubs or anything like that, but the Saints have a great defense too. Keep that unit bottled up. Don't let them get any confidence. I mean, if you're talking about your third down percentage, if you get them to those situations, right, like, that's where you start to tee off. And if circling back around to my point about the defensive line, if they can get after Kirk Cousins and get into those third and longs, even like third and mediums, and then just go after them, like put them on the ground, then you're going to be getting some drive-killing plays, you know. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, not having a mobile quarterback to deal with this week is a nice little lanyard for this defense going into the matchup, something you don't have to worry about. Obviously, you know, the Jalen Hurts matchup, everyone kept saying, you know, we're gonna have a spy on him, or, you know, who are you gonna have focused that's dedicated to stopping Jalen Hurts? It's not about that this week. We're not gonna have to see Kirk Cousins tucking and running, worrying about him scrambling for like 18-yard gains.
No, he can't move, Steve. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a statue back there. So, granted, he knows that, and he's a veteran, he's a savvy guy, he's been in the league for 13 years. Like, there's nothing that
he can really pick you apart, though. Right.
He can definitely do that if you give him time to do it. Now, you know, the key that Bobby always talks about is getting pressure with the front four, right? Making it feel like a blitz without using a blitz. At the same time, you might have to bring a couple blitzes at points in this game to make sure you get him on the ground. But you got to be kind of careful with that because, as you mentioned, if you don't, that's when he can pick you apart. We got a text. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, read the text, Mark, on our Open Heart Jewelers talk-in text line here on First Take.
Before I get to that from Joe from Biloxi, one last point I wanted to make about the Falcons' offense. Time of possession. They averaged 24 minutes of time of possession. And I know that, you know, once again, they've played some kind of rush-heavy teams with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But that goes back to my point about their third down efficiency being a reason why their offense has struggled. They're not staying on the field much, Steve. They're not, like, keeping these drives extended. For instance, the game that they won against the Eagles, it came off of a miracle, like, 45-second drive at the very end of the game. So
right.
I mean,
they were able to close it out there in Philly, which was wild.
And that's what Kirk Cousins can do, by the way. He can do that. But at the same time, if you can keep that third down conversion rate like low and drives early, boost your sack numbers, there's a couple things that are working in the Saints' favor here defensively versus the Falcons' offense, which is the matchup that we're all, you know, very highly anticipating heading into the season. As far as the NFC South goes, the Saints' defense was always going to be legit, and the Falcons' offense was expected to be legit. They just haven't gotten going just yet. They're like D'Orlando Ledbetter, once again, I'll reference him from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He basically said the defense is further along. The Falcons' defense is further along so far than the Atlanta offense, which is interesting because they kind of got their own mercenaries on the defensive side of the ball too, with like Matt Judon and Justin Simmons going out and getting these one-year deals and stuff like that, and making moves to add those guys at positions of need defensively. Their defense has been pretty solid this year. They're giving up 20.3 points per game, which is 13th in the NFL. So as D said, the defense is a little bit further along than the offense. This is kind of the chance for the Saints defense to make sure that they don't get that, you know, kind of confidence going early on.
You mentioned about Justin Simmons, them acquiring him. Obviously, the Saints were in the mix to try and land that free agent.
Yeah.
Ended up choosing the ATL, and they've got a heck of a pairing over there at that safety spot. And Derek Carr was asked about how good are these Falcons safeties.
They're unbelievable. I played both of them for years now. You know, Jesse's a great player. Like you saw last year, he left the middle of the field and went and picked off a choice route on the other side of the field. You know, and you know he has that ability and he has that talent. And so you have to be ready for that, have a plan for that. And then Justin, I've played for years in Denver. You know, and he knows how I feel about him. I think the world of him, not only as a player, but more importantly as a person. You know, I think he's, you know, if you're a kid and you want to learn how to play safety and you want to root for two guys, I'd root for those two guys because they're great people. You know, we played, you know, Jesse in the playoffs, and after the game, I come out and he's sitting there talking to my kids for 10 minutes. You know, that's the type of people they are. And then you watch them and the type of players that they are, just outstanding talents, but even better people.
Derek Carr there talking about Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, that safety duo in that Falcone secondary.
They're nasty, Steve, for sure, 100%. But, you know, maybe the defensive line for the Falcons is not, at least the interior of the defensive line, and I don't want to take away from guys like
Grady. To worry about a David Onyemata revenge game today?
Yeah, Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, like, they're good players. But what you saw last week from Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, it's not going to be that. So it's going to be a little bit easier on the interior of this offensive line. Now, they still got to get the job done, right, and open up holes in the rushing attack, make sure that, you know, they're not getting a ton of penetration up the middle, like exactly what you want to do against the Falcons without their center. But at the same time, it's not going to be as tough of a test because they're just not as talented as those two guys, if we're being honest. So,
yeah, I'm looking up the Falcons injury report. When you were talking about that defense, too, do you happen to recall the status of Matthew Judon? I know
he's
going to
go. He was a full participant. I don't know if he was full participant, but him and Bijan popped up on the injury report on Thursday, but neither one of them have like injury designations for this game. They were just both limited on that day.
Okay, yeah, I knew that the shoulder issue for Bijan wasn't considered really anything serious, but I wasn't sure with Judon on, I think it was a hamstring for him he ended up dealing with.
I think Judon's supposed to be good to go. There are two players that are really out, or as we mentioned, the center and the right tackle. So defensively, they're healthy.
Banged up O-line versus banged up O-line.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Once again, the test from the Falcons' D-line won't be as significant as, especially the interior, right? I keep saying this because the Phillies' edge rushers aren't necessarily impressive. They don't have a Matt Judon. But at the same time, the interior of their defensive line is so solid and stout and talented. That's not what the Falcons are going to be presenting you. Now, Judon is a potential game record himself. He's only a couple of years removed from basically a 15.5 sack season with New England. Now, he had injuries last year. He got moved on from in the offseason. He got traded to the Falcons in the offseason. So that was a position that they needed to fill. We thought that they were going to draft an edge rusher in the first round before they drafted Michael Penix, their QB of the future with the 8th overall pick. But, so they got Judon basically as like a mercenary. As I mentioned, I really wanted to – let's get to this text real quick.
Yeah.
1413 said, morning, the Saints almost loses this game because of penalties. Penalties, okay. But Groupie pulls it out with a late winning field goal. Who dat? Joe from Biloxi.
I'll take it.
I'll take it too. Bobby always says this, there is no such thing as an ugly win. Just get out of Atlanta with a win, get to 3-1, right? Drop them to 1-3. You're 2-0 in the division. Once again, we'll keep hyping up this game because of how important it is. You're starting out 2-0 in the division and 3-1 just in the NFC in general. Like, you're feeling really, really good about yourselves. especially kind of heading into the stretch run that you're going to go on in a little bit here with Kansas City and Tampa Bay. That's looking a little bit ahead. Got to focus on this one today. And once again, 3-1. It just seems like there's an ocean of difference between 3-1 and 2-2, doesn't there?
Definitely sounds a lot better.
It sounds significantly better. And at the same time for the Falcons, they're thinking the same thing. There's like a gigantic gap between 2-2 and 1-3. You got to go on a little bit of a winning streak just to get back to 500. Versus if you're 2-2, you're there. So I know it's early on in the season, but we can't really emphasize enough how important this game is.
No, you're getting into another leg right now. Obviously, you started out, boom, first three games, you gone 2-1. Not a bad job at all. You would take that at the beginning of the year. Now looking at this next three-game stretch, you really got to go 2-1 again. You got two against divisional rivals today against Atlanta. Then after the Kansas City game Monday night, we got a matchup against Tampa Bay. So you got back, almost back-to-back, you know, NFC South opponents, like we've mentioned, is very top-heavy. You got to get to, you know, 3-0 in division would be so sweet, especially you don't have to start worrying about those tiebreakers at the end of the year, which gets so annoying. Like, well, if we do this against so-and-so and the Saints end up, you know, winning here and so-and-so loses there, then they have a chance at the one seed. No, just get your tiebreakers out the way, win the division, and boom, you're in the playoffs for sure.
We got from 6308, will Alvin play today? I have him on my fantasy football. Yes, he is expected to play, and I also have him on my fantasy football. I've been a very happy Alvin Kamara fantasy guy, so yes, he's going to be ready to go.
We're going to take a break, be back with more First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line. Sound off, folks, 504-260-1870. Be getting to you right after this on WWL. Welcome on into First Take. It's brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Getting back into our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line right off the bat. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation, as you're getting ready for the Dirty Birds. What you cooking up for this matchup, too? Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. Definitely, I feel like wings has got to be a staple today going against the Birds.
Yeah, we're getting some today. That's going to be fun. No, you got to. Absolutely. Cook up some Dirty Bird wings. I mean,
fried falcon, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, there we go.
Checking in on that Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line. Jimmy, what you got for us this morning, my man?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
Hey, listen. We had time to prepare. We all know Eric McCoy getting hurt was devastating. The Eagles started sending pressure up the middle. It had everybody flustered. The fans were flustered in the dome. I missed that game, actually. I watched it at home. I was flustered. You saw the offensive line was flustered. Derek Carr was under pressure. Kubiak is going to adjust, and I know he's going to be out for a while. Everybody's got to step up. Next man up. Whether we like it or not, that's the situation. Like you said, Charlie and Steve, we're better prepared now knowing what's in front of us. DeMarco Davis out, man. I don't know. We've heard so much about DeMarco Jackson. I don't know if he's going to surface more, but this is his opportunity. And I said it last week. Look, I doubt Cam Jordan's listening right now. He's probably warming up and stretching up and then putting this
he's
and that on
to the
and all
first
that.
Take.
he does probably. Look, I'm calling out the Cam. We love you, but you got to step it up, man. You got to, you know, I know you got a lot of kids. I know you're getting, you know, you don't want, you know, it's like you're not going to get sleep. We all know if you got kids, you don't get as much sleep, this and that. But look, he's getting a little long in the tooth, and he will go down as a legend, all right, of the Saints and a first ballot Saints Hall of Famer. But I don't know if this is last year. The output isn't there. All I'm saying is he's got to step up. And, look, Penning, he's been an enigma from the start, but he's going to be out there. We need him to step up, you know, and I guess Taysom's back. But, you know, Kamara's playing for the new contract. But let me say this about last week. Derek Carr's throw over the middle. Now, granted, there was some pressure, and it kind of stressed him out. 1 minute left. But that game was right there for us. For him to throw it over the middle, considering how much he makes, it was a boneheaded throw. And he's played pretty well this year. I got to give him credit. But all it takes, you know, like Bobby Hebert says, it's what did you do for me lately?
Right.
And, you know, considering we had a blocked punt, Granderson, I think, strip fumble. We had the Honey Badger interception at home. We should have won that game, but hindsight's 20/20. It's water under the bridge, and people joke about Kirk Cousins and how he looks like Mr. Rogers and, you know, his corny dances and all that, but guess what? He is very accurate. He is very accurate, and especially in the regular season. I know he's known for not playing well in the playoffs, but he scares me. We got to start off early with this guy, because otherwise he is going to carve us up. So let's do that. Let's beat the Dirty Birds. Let's get it 55-55, Charlie said. We got to break the tie here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving me a score prediction.
I was like, wow.
I was about to lose my – I was like, whoa. A team that's been averaging, 16 points per game.
I hope we're not giving 55.
We're getting like a tie. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no. So we actually have a text to me as well. Don't sleep on Kirk. If we let him, he'll pick us apart. Keep him uncomfortable back there with pressure. Agreed. Because once again, yes, Kirk Cousins has got the mind to do it. He can pick you apart. He does not have the athleticism to just run all over you. Right?
The good news is, obviously, you want to see Cam, getting more of a presence on this D-line. But you look at the guys in a Carl Granderson and what he's been able to do.
Carl's
and man,
been a
oh,
stud.
Man, Chase Young, too. I know he doesn't have the sack numbers, but his pressures are definitely there. He just got to worry about maybe his conditioning later on in games. He seems a little more gassed.
What did DA call it? He called it, invisible presence or something, production, something like that. Like, where the numbers aren't necessarily there yet for Chase, but they'll be popping up soon. Because he's doing well. Like, he's had a strong start to the year. Carl Granderson's your defensive end one, and you're hoping that he can get it, too. But I'm looking more towards the interior of this defensive line for the Saints. Like, I want to see Bercy get after Kirk Cousins. I want to see Nathan Shepard get some pressure. I want to see, Colin Saunders have a nice game in his, return, his season debut for the Saints, because he's been dealing with an injury that's kept him out the first three games. So give me the interior pressure right at his feet to make him super uncomfortable. Without their center, just blow up the interior. And if that happens and he has to move back and he steps right back into Carl Granderson or Chase Young, yeah, you're going to be bumping up those 11 sacks so far this year. That's the hope. Because, if he does have time, as Jimmy mentioned, as that texter mentioned, Kirk Cousins has the ability. He can pick you apart. But if you put him on the ground early and often and have him feeling uncomfortable in that pocket with two missing offensive linemen.
Pressure, baby.
Pressure breaks the pipes. Right? That's exactly what you need, especially for an offense that hasn't necessarily gained much confidence yet this year. Like, once again, they're 26th in the NFL in scoring. They're terrible on third down. Make sure that they don't get any confidence in this game. That's what I would say.
Cruising along here on First Take. Speaking of cruises, the Saints have partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends fan cruise. Make sure you check it out. Going to be back with more First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up 10 a.m. right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Who dat? Oh, waking up this morning. Hope you're joining us on First Take as we get ready for the noon kickoff in Atlanta between the Saints and Falcons. Noah's a bit of a mess there, obviously, in the ATL, having to deal with some of the hurricane I guess it was a tropical storm, basically, when it got to them.
Yeah, the whole East Coast, I mean.
Ravaged.
Yeah, Helene kind of went out there and just dumped a ton of water. So, I mean, yeah, something's, you move past football. We all hate the Dirty Birds, but hoping for the best for everyone out there.
Yeah, definitely. You look at the game going into this, it was kind of a concern if there would be any kind of weather ramifications for the Saints having to play this game. But luckily, things went and passed by early on, and there was no damage, obviously, to the stadium. I imagine, though, that the surrounding metro area, it'll be interesting, is probably dealing with a little bit of inconvenience as they recover from all the storm aftermath.
Yeah, I think if anything, it would have been potentially the logistics with travel. But as far as we know, I think everything went fine.
Right.
So, but yeah, as you kind of said, we're hoping for the best for the folks out there. I know that there's still plenty of people without power in the Carolinas and Georgia and stuff like that. So
up next, WWL News. We'll be back with the second hour First Take after the break. Stay tuned on WWL.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster, and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the second hour of First Take. Charlie, you still waking up over there? I'm riding high off my coffee buzz right now.
I'm not a coffee guy. So I just kind of jump right into it.
Just pound in some water.
Just go right into it, man. Let's get to it.
Yeah, obviously a late night action. We had to deal with some LSU football and the Georgia-Alabama game going later into the evening. I don't know if you stayed up for the California matchup with Oregon and UCLA. There's just no way I could. You're watching football, so it's not that bad.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I did not stay up for that game. I did stay up for both of the LSU, South Alabama, and Georgia-Alabama games. Did you see Brian Kelly's presser last night, by the way?
I have not seen Kelly.
This is a complete side note. We're not obviously talking about...
So you've stayed up later than me.
Yes. So at the end of it, like, you could hear, like, when he's... It's like halfway through. He starts... just hearing cheering in the background. People were like freaking out. And he was just like, yeah, they're watching the Georgia-Alabama game. Like the team. Yeah, after the game. So
what a wild ending there, obviously. What a comeback from Georgia after Alabama came out and looked they were going to rout them. But the Bulldogs are able to come back only to be let down so badly.
The Georgia-Bama game started before LSU, yes. South Alabama.
Right.
And it ended after because obviously they were watching it. So. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, let's hope that we can make some Georgia fans kind of sad again by taking down the Dirty Birds today.
Exactly. They've been disappointed yesterday, and sorry, some more disappointment coming to the Dirty Birds area today with the Saints invading the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, basically home away from home for the black and gold.
I saw a tweet that was joking about Minnesota fans, right? Like Minnesota sports fans, they had – the Twins get eliminated in baseball a couple of days ago, and then they traded Carl Anthony Towns in basketball. He's like one of their pillar players for basically a decade. And then Minnesota, the college, University of Minnesota, kind of lost to Michigan on a controversial onside kick call from the officiating. So Minnesota sports fans are feeling kind of bad, and Green Bay fans, you know, they're looking at their rival, hoping to push them down further. That's kind of what Saints fans are feeling about, you know, Georgia and Atlanta fans. Keep pushing them down.
Yeah, you mentioned with Green Bay there, that's someone I'm actually curious to find out if Jordan Love ends up playing today.
I think
the plan is that I just saw him on, you know, the Twitter sphere. They had him filmed walking into the stadium for game day.
I think he's supposed to go, but Malik Willis did a pretty good job in his stuff.
Filling in, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at this matchup, obviously the Saints versus the Dirty Birds, who have gone 1-2 on the season.
Yes, sir.
A lot of talk has been they could easily 3-0. You could always flip that and say, oh, they could easily be 0-3 as well.
They should be 0-3. That's the funny thing. It's like, and
Yeah, the Eagles coughed up that game, obviously, late.
Correct. We've got a couple texters. Let's see. Sam had this one earlier as well. Said, guys, I have an uneasy feeling about this one. I'm feeling 24-20, but I'm not sure which way it goes. That's kind of around where you would think, just based off of the games that the Falcons have played so far this year, their defense has been solid, and they've played a lot of teams close. Like, each of their games have been basically one-possession games that have come down to the wire. You know, with the Steelers, they kick all the field goals, and they end up winning that game. I think it was 18-10 final. But then against, you know, the Eagles, they come from behind in that 40-second drive, like that other texter had mentioned about, you know, don't let Kirk Cousins get after it because he can carve you up. He absolutely can, and he showed that when he played the Eagles in those final 40 seconds after, you know, having some struggles earlier in the game. They win that game. And then against, you know, the Chiefs this past week on Monday Night Football, like, that game was kind of wild because there were a couple different potential pass interference calls that could have gone Atlanta's way, especially one in the end zone where, had it happened, maybe we're talking about a 2-1 Falcons team instead of a 1-2 Falcons team. But it seems like the Chiefs get a nice majority of those calls in their favor. I don't want to be like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but now you're looking. I'm not crying over spilled milk because it's the Falcons too.
Right, exactly.
At the same time, they're 1-2 for a reason. They've had offensive issues at times this year. As I mentioned, the 16.3 points per game ranks 26th in the NFL. The 22% third down conversion rate rates 29th. So if you're the Saints defense, this can't be the game where this Falcons unit led by a new quarterback in Kirk Cousins starts to feel confident. You got to make sure that they keep it down. Like, if the Saints defense can just do what they've done for the first 3 weeks against Carolina, against Dallas, and against Philadelphia, like, they'll keep you in this game. And it might be like Sam had mentioned here, as he said, he doesn't know which way he's feeling about it, 24-20. It's probably going to be some type of score like that. That's what you would anticipate, right? With both teams missing offensive linemen, probably feel a little bit more comfortable playing the under potentially here. But as far as, you know, final score, if the Saints can keep that Falcons offense to 20 or below, you gave yourself a shot. And I think they can.
You know, always, obviously, something wild always happens in this matchup, too. You heard enough me and Charlie babbling about right now. Let's get into some real football minds. Mike Dettillier, Deuce McAllister, earlier this week on Sports Talk, breaking down what we can expect to see in this Falcons matchup against the Saints and what we need to see the black and gold do.
Your opinion, and just watching from television standpoint and what you've seen with Kirk Cousins, that's Abraham's boy. I mean, because I think he sort of looks at Kirk similar to him, and they sort of rhythm type passers. I thought game one, man, he was awfully stiff, and you could understand that, him coming off the Achilles injury. He looked a little better, a little bit more with some movement against Kansas City in a game they should have won. They really should have beat Kansas City and let that slip away from them. But your thoughts on Kirk, who has had some really, really good games against the Saints when he was in Minnesota.
I am sending the kitchen sink at him. I don't care. I am sending the kitchen sink at him. And really, you know, it's not really from the outside. I know Alante Taylor is, you know, he's got, what, 4 sacks, and he's come off the edge. You know, I'm going to send that as well. But I am showing double A gap. And, Kirk, you're either going to be in shotgun and getting the ball out of your hands. But if you're under center, one, I'm testing your new center that you have here, and two, I'm going to see if you can move, because if the pressure can get there in your face and you can't move out of the way, then I know I have a pretty good chance that that ball's got to come out hot. I cannot allow you to sit back there and be able to just dissect my defense and get it to the weapons that you have on the edge, and it looks like they're starting to get it to a lot of those weapons out there on the edge. You know, they've got a lot of pretty toys at the running back position, the tight end, and the receiver position. You know, the question is, can the quarterback get it to them consistent? And I'm sending the sink at him. I am sending the sink at him.
Yeah, because, again, he was never known as a movement guy, but you can tell he's not the same guy anymore. And I understand that coming off the injury. I really, really do in that part. And also, you don't have your starting center or your starting right tackle, most likely, in this game. We've seen a lot more of Ray Robinson in the lineup for Atlanta than maybe we saw a year ago with them and how they use him, and also the addition of Darnell Mooney. He brings him some speed element. We all know Darnell when he played here at Tulane and when he was with the Bears. And then, man, Drake London. I remember last year during the preseason and talking to Jen Hale. Jen does the preseason games for the Falcons, and she was like, that's who they say is the next big thing. here in Atlanta. It's Drake London. They're not talking about Pitts like this. They're talking about Drake London. They have two targets, two distinct targets. One, that big, tall, lengthy receiver, and then the speed guy in Darnell Mooney.
No, I agree, and I think, you know, obviously all three of them are a little bit different. Bijan looks like the guy that you thought he would be, and, you know, he's done a really nice job being able to pick up the blitz. But, I mean, it's the ball. When he has the ball in his hands and he can make people miss and doing some different things like that, that's what the Saints have to be aware of. You know, he's basically a guy like Alvin that can do a little bit of everything, and he's going to be a stop-and-start guy. I mean, and so you've got to be able to, hey, I see him, and I'm going to unleash on him. I can't just say, he's going to slow down. No, he's a stop and start guy as far as that everything he wants to do. You know, not necessarily cut back, but he will cut a lot back. And, you know, they use him out of the backfield. They throw it to him out wide. And, you know, they're using him a lot more, but they still will throw Algier in there. And then, you know, it looks like finally your tight end is 100% healthy. You know, I still think they could probably target him a little bit more. And
after what you saw
this weekend, I imagine they're going to say, yep, that's a matchup we feel like we can win a lot more. And so the Saints defensively, you got to have your hands full. I mean, but you've done it before. It's just going to be, can you lock in?
Can you lock in? The great Deuce McAllister with Mike Dettillier there talking about this matchup upcoming for a noon start right here on WWL and the Odyssey app, Saints-Falcons. And, man, oh, man, you love to hear that from dudes. Bring the kitchen sink at them.
Yeah, like someone on our text line said, just keep blitzing. And, I mean, you run a little bit of a risk of that. Like, at all costs, get them on the ground, first and foremost. Like, you understand that. But, God, the front four, if they could just get pressure without having a blitz.
You're confident that Kirk can't get away from it if are able to get around
him. No, and just wrap him up and put him on the ground. I'll keep saying that.
And maybe he'll chuck one up there for you.
Right. Well, that's actually a good point as well, Steve, is the turnover margin that Bobby always loves to talk about.
Like key stat,
It is a huge key. The Saints are +4 in turnover margin, which is third in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. +4. Really, really solid. The Falcons, -2. 24th. You want to know what the difference between 2-1 and 1-2 is?
Right.
And why the Falcons lost some close games? Turnover margin. So we'll see what happens there. As to Deuce's point, because Mike also brought that up about Kyle Pitts. Copycat league, we saw what Dallas Goedert just did to the Saints last week.
Right.
Kyle Pitts still hasn't gotten going. And he had that fantastic rookie year. I know he's dealt with some injuries, but at the same time, the quarterback play, you know, when he had Matt Ryan throwing him the ball, the best year of his career. Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke,
not so much. Right.
If you're looking at so far this year, he has 12 targets through the first three games, 8 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown. It just seems like the connection with Kirk Cousins hasn't necessarily established just yet. So this can't be his get-up game as well. This can't be when people start saying, oh, Kyle Pitts finally has a quarterback thrown to him. He can flash his talent. They can, you know, we could see why he was the top tight end taken ever, the number 4th overall pick a couple of years back. So that's a huge key that Deuce and Mike brought up as far as making sure that Kyle Pitts stays kind of contained.
And obviously talking about the quarterback with the Falcons, first year for Kirk Cousins in the Dirty Bird uniform. We've obviously been accustomed to seeing him in his years with the Minnesota Vikings and what he's capable of. The Saints have faced him 5 times. Here's what head coach Dennis Allen had to say about the Falcons signal caller, Kirk Cousins.
He's played a long time in this league, and he understands, you know, the looks that you're giving him. And so I think he does a good job of, you know, operating the offense, getting them into good plays, making some checks at the line of scrimmage. I think he, you know, sees the coverage pretty well, can get through his progressions, find the open guy. You know, I think he plays professional quarterback, you know, plays the game from the neck up, which he does exceptionally well.
You mentioned, Charlie, too, one of our texters on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line saying, don't sleep on Kirk, he can hurt you.
Sir.
We know that for sure.
Absolutely. Kirk Cousins in his career versus the Saints, got some numbers for you here, Steve. 5 games in his career versus the Saints, 117.6 passer rating. I mean, just that blows you away from the get-go. 1,569 yards in 5 games, which, you know, math's out to a 313 per game average as far as passing yards go. 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So that doesn't include the playoff matchup.
Right.
But here's another thing that's interesting about that. This dates back to his career with Washington, by the way. He's 2-3 against the Saints in his regular
season. Right, record isn't there, but the numbers are nice.
The numbers are spicy. Like, that is, you know, once again, I'll read it off again. a 70.6 completion percentage against the Saints, 313.8 yards thrown per game, and then 13 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in his career against the Saints in those 5 regular season games, but still a 2-3 record.
Dennis Allen even added more on Kirk Cousins and really praised the guy's IQ.
You get these veteran quarterbacks that have played a long time in our league that are, you know, highly intelligent. They're hard to fool. So, you know, that won't be something that'll be easy for us to do.
You know, dealing with an experienced guy back there, obviously not someone that you're going to rattle very easily.
Yeah, like we kind of mentioned, as far as blitzing him, like, yes, you can blitz him. But at the same time, he's seen all the different blitzes that you can throw his way.
You got to get home.
Yeah, exactly. So build on those 11 sacks that you already have this season, which ranks 5th in the NFL. You're feeling good about that start from the defensive line, but this is such a, we cannot emphasize enough, such a gigantic game from the Saints defensive front. If Percy and if, you know, Carl Granderson and Chase Young and Nathan Shepard, Cam Jordan can get after Kirk Cousins and put him on the ground, it is just the biggest key that I can think of for this matchup.
Want to hear from you on Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line, folks. 504-260-1870. Rolling along with First Take coming up at 10 o'clock. Bobby Hebert will be joining us in studio for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff, and that'll bring you up to game time. Turn down that national sound on the television. You got to turn up our local call with Nostradamus, Deuce McAllister, the man that can predict football plays.
They still haven't come up with a nickname for him yet.
I don't know. Yeah, something.
Yeah, I thought of like Nostradamus, but I think that's maybe a little bit of a stretch. But he's the best at predicting those plays. It's so funny because like Coleman will be grabbing the highlights and he'll like have to include Deuce saying, I'm feeling a turnover here. I think the Saints are, they're getting to the ball. Like they're punching at it. They're finally going to get a turn. And then all of a sudden a fumble. It's just like, okay, yeah, you got it.
We got to bring Deuce definitely to the lotto line and get some of the Powerball numbers. Along with him, obviously, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. They have your call for you in Atlanta. And our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, will bring you the latest and greatest from the sidelines there. Hopefully see a big black and gold contingent invading the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll be back after this break on First Take with more. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on First Take as we get ready for the upcoming Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Just a half hour away from the Cajun Cannon joining us as he gets ready for the Dirty Birds taking on the Saints. And obviously a pretty big day for the Cajun Cannon with him obviously playing for both franchises.
Yeah, pretty big day as well, because for the Falcons folks, this is a 55-55 tie, but for the Saints, count the regular season, 55-54. And also, as far as some series history goes, some notes on this, the Saints since 2006, you know what they are against the Falcons in 36 games played? 25-11.
Wow.
I think it's the Dirty Birds. So they have really made that surge in the past basically 2 decades to get it back to where it is now, where they hold a 1-game edge. And let's make it 2.
We were talking last segment, Charlie, about what do we call Deuce, his prophetic predictions in these Saints games.
There's so many different ones.
It's been pretty awesome to see what he's been able to do. And obviously, when it comes to light, everybody, it makes it that much more exciting and reason why you should turn down the TVs and turn up a local call on WWL and the Odyssey app, obviously, of Haas and Deuce. But here's a little clip of what them talking about that Haas and Deuce on Fans in the Pro on Friday.
Here's the question.
The S&P 500, it is up, though. So.
Would you prefer Nostradamus or Deustradamus? There are nicknames for you floating out there, and I said, I'm going to ask Deuce today, and he won't want to talk about it because he's too humble.
I prefer a W.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to talk about. I prefer a W. It's luck. That's what we'll go with. It's luck.
Yeah, it's pretty good luck right there. Obviously, you know, Deuce has seen plenty of the game and his vantage point of the field and his knowledge of this Saints squad. You can have a good bet on everything that he's seeing is going through that computer upstairs. And obviously, you'd think he'd make a good coach as well. I'm sure he doesn't want any part of that, though, dealing with coaching hours.
Yeah, no, he's got the supercomputer in his brain as far as football goes. And so, you know, kind of like Haas said, he's being kind of humble about it. But he knows what he's talking about, dude. Like, when he'll see basically a play happening before it happens and he knows that, like, oh, the Saints can get something done here, And then it happens. It's just fun stuff. It's
that
great
one
radio.
Call with Shahid. He's like, "Can I get greedy?" I love that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he sees how like the offense lines up. He's just like, "There's an opportunity here." And then like the very next thing, Clint Kubiak obviously sees the same exact thing, and Derek Hart sees the same exact thing.
They must have been listening to the call and said, "Oh, you heard Deuce. We got to take advantage here.
We got to make that call real quick." Steve, Nick Underhill of New Orleans Football just put this out.
Good
Chris
news.
Olave and Alvin Kamara will both be active today. So we already kind of knew about Kamara. He was really always kind of trending in the right direction. Olave kind of popping up on Friday with that hamstring injury was a little bit of a concern.
Sure.
But Underhill had made a great point about this as well over the weekend, the fact that they only elevated Kyle Hergel from the practice squad kind of means that you were expecting him to potentially play. I know he was a quote-unquote game-time decision. It's 9:30. We're still 2.5 hours away from kickoff. But apparently he is good to go. So
whatever he was going through this morning and everything's A-OK with him.
Two huge pieces for the Saints offense, obviously, that doesn't even need to be said. But as far as, you know, going against the Falcons defense, that has been pretty, pretty solid so far this year.
You mentioned some offensive pieces, obviously, too, getting Taysom Hill back going to be huge today.
Yeah.
And the fact, though, I do want to see, where has Juwan Johnson, where have you been? Maybe this is the game kind of he, like, reasserts himself into this offense. I know he's working his way back, obviously, from injury since not taking part in much of training camp. But curious to see if maybe he can take advantage of this Falcons defense today as well.
Juwan is a weird story because the offseason foot surgery happened. And we talked to Clancy Barone on the Saints coaches show. And Clancy basically said that they were, and this is a baseball analogy, that they were keeping him on a pitch count early on in the season. That they didn't want him to be playing too many snaps. Now, the impact by the tight ends were felt in the first game, where Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson both had great first games against the Panthers in a blowout win. It has not been felt in the passing attack since.
Right.
It wasn't felt against Dallas, but you didn't really need it against Dallas because you just ran over them. But it wasn't felt against Philly either. And that's been a position that I've kind of lamented over the past few months. It's just like, man, the tight end spot is not great.
2 years ago, you're yelling at them about the draft, I remember.
Well, yeah, because they should have drafted someone there. But, you know, we had a couple callers calling about this. Taysom Hill, to your point about him, and in this matchup against the Falcons. Taysom Hill has a career record against the Falcons, 10-4. As we mentioned, kind of that 25-11 stretch since 2006 for the Saints. Taysom Hill, he's had plenty of success against the Falcons in his career with a 10-4.
So you're saying I should be having him from my bench in the lineup somewhere in my fantasy team?
I don't know what his workload is going to be, right? Because as we kind of talked about with the pitch count for Juwan Johnson coming off an injury, maybe the Saints, like, they'll probably be decently careful with Taysom coming off a chest injury, you know, that kept him out of last week's game against Philadelphia, which, had he played that game, it could have been a difference maker. Like, for instance, the 4th-and-1. Like, that's a Taysom play, right?
Oh,
you give it to him
sure.
And let him truck somebody, even if it is, like, going up against that Eagles interior defensive line.
I'm still scratching my head, though, too, just to point out, where's Jamal Williams been? Last game, he just had one carry, and then they just kind of forgot about him totally, which perplexed me.
We had a texter that was, like, going at Mike, because Mike said Jamal Williams is, like, taking a step back. And he has, since his days in Detroit.
Well, when you have one carry minus 1 yards in a game, yeah.
Yeah, correct. I mean, yes, he got one attempt, and this texter was just like, oh, well, you know, he led the team in yards per rush against Dallas, which he didn't. It was Kamara by a decent wide margin as well. He's not getting the attempts, right? And I think it's because he has taken a little bit of a step back. I think that Taysom is obviously your running back too
right
now. So if he's good to go for this game, which he is, it'll be interesting to see what type of workload he gets. Because as I mentioned, 10-4 against the Falcons in his career, it's no small number. It's a pretty big sample, 14 games, pretty big sample size. So at the same time, it's probably going to be an Alvin Kamara game again for the Saints on the ground, but with some Taysom Hill sprinkled in there.
I was talking about running backs, too, this week. There were some positive updates with Kendra Miller able to return from injured reserve, and I guess we'll be seeing him get assimilated more into this offense now. For crying out loud, we haven't seen the guy do anything since the first day of training camp.
Yeah, we got a great text here from our guy Sam. Said someone needs to hypnotize Cam and tell him that Matt Ryan is out there wearing a Kirk Cousins jersey. He sure did love playing against Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, pretty much a statue too, is not going to be a very mobile guy.
But that's exactly why you got to get after him with the front four. You know, like, if you can still drop 7 in coverage on those obvious passing downs and still get after him, like, that is just huge.
You talking about Cam Jordan, that's a good segue into some more audio we have. Falcons hate week. Everybody embraces that in Saints Nation, obviously going against the Dirty Birds. Well, at the end of last year, obviously in that blowout against the Falcons, the Saints decided to, well, I won't even say the Saints decided to, it was really Jameis Winston decided to change the play at a victory formation, went for the touchdown, they scored, giving, you know, what we saw, a touchdown for Jamal Williams. I almost said Kendra Miller. Jamal Williams getting that touchdown, his one touchdown of the year for the Saints out of victory formation, and obviously ruffled a lot of feathers on the Falcons side of things. Dennis Allen even apologizing to Arthur Smith in the postgame press conference. It just didn't sit well with a lot of people, and wondering if the Falcons are still a little butthurt over that going into this matchup. Cam Jordan was asked, do you think the Falcons weren't pleased with that TD out of victory formation?
I don't care what they're pleased with. What does it have to do with us? If you want forgiveness, go to your mother. I'm sure she'll say sorry for you. I got nothing for you. Look to Jesus. He forgives everybody.
Do you think they'll come to the game a little bit different than because of how last game went? Like, do you think the Falcons are?
I don't care how they feel. This is the NFL. This is a winning business, and we were in position to win.
Exactly. Cam's like, I don't care how the Falcons feel. We're out to beat them this game. Boo-hoo if they got upset about it. I do not like the play, obviously. I think, obviously, that's another reason, too, why if someone like Jameis Winston is no longer around on this team because he's not following what the coach told him to do in that situation. It just didn't feel clean. It was a dirty kind of ending to the game. You could definitely hurt somebody running a play out of victory formation when people aren't expecting, you know, you to be in play mode when it's just taking a knee.
Here's what I'll say. There are so many new faces on both sides, in a sense, but mostly with the Falcons.
Sure, even a new head coach.
They got rid of Arthur Smith.
Right.
This is Raheem Morris's team. He doesn't care. Maybe some players still have some like kind of hurt feelings about it, but I don't even think that's the case. I don't think there's going to be any kind of, you know, blowover.
Rushback, right.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, Jameis isn't here anymore, but like it's a new coaching staff in Atlanta, a new quarterback in Atlanta. They're focusing on trying to, you know, they enter the year as NFC South favorites. They're trying to live up to that expectation. I don't think they're really focused on a blowout loss from last year where they had different people in charge on the coaching staff and different kind of quarterback leading the offense.
If they need that to motivate them, so be it. But I don't think that's going to be a tipping point in this matchup.
That's kind of what, if they're using that to motivate them, then I think the Saints have an edge, in all honesty. Like, what are you doing? It's a new year.
Getting ready for Saints versus Falcons, a noon start in the ATL Mercedes-Benz Stadium out there. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister coming up with the call. At 10 a.m., we're going to have the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, where you'll get the latest and greatest from the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert as we get ready. Saints-Falcons Week 4 action kicking off on WWL and the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more First Take after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Frying up those Falcons, getting ready for a noon kickoff here on WWL, Saints and Atlanta. First matchup between the two teams this year. Obviously, the Saints already 1-0 in the NFC South, taking down the Panthers to start the season. So, big divisional matchup. They always are. Count for two. We say that constantly. And then, obviously, after this game, you got a big one against the Kansas City Chiefs Monday night in Kansas City, then coming back to the Dome for the Bucks. So, a big three-game stretch here. Early on in the year for this team, and you got to stay afloat in this division. I don't want to see you taking a step back, because playing catch-up has been a problem for the last couple years for this team, and at least setting the tone like they were able to do at least the first two games would be nice for this team.
Right. I mean, getting off to that 3-1 start is just huge. I mean, 2-0 in the NFC South as well. You kind of solidify yourself as the early season, like, I don't want to say
the favorite.
Yes. I don't want to say the favorite because it is still 4 weeks in.
But like you said, setting the tone, establishing some dominance.
Correct. And you have all these games against the NFC South within the first 10 weeks, right? So if you can kind of pull away early, then you give yourself some breathing room in the back half. And we don't have to be worrying about other teams having to win for the Saints to get back into the playoff picture. Couple things real quick, Steve, about Atlanta's offense I wanted to hit on. Because as I mentioned earlier, when we were interviewing D. Orlando Ledbetter, I think it was on Thursday, he had said that the defense was further along than the Falcons' offense under new signal caller, you know, Kirk Cousins. And Mike really emphasized stopping the run for this Falcons team. And I think that's an interesting point because so far this year, as far as their rushing offense goes, when you think about the Falcons, you think about their strong offensive line, you think about their, you know, fancy weapons, and it doesn't get much fancier at the running back position than someone like Bijan Robinson. He's a stud, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the Falcons' rushing offense so far, it's middle of the pack, Steve. I mean, they average 107.7 yards per game, which is 18th in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Saints, despite, you know, getting kind of run over a little bit by Saquon Barkley this past week, they're 8th in rushing defense so far this year. So with Bijan, this year he's got 48 total carries in 3 games. It's a pretty good average, and you imagine the type of workload that he's going to be getting every single week. 196 yards, which averages out to 4.1 yards per carry. Now, those numbers went down pretty significantly when they played the Chiefs this past week. He did not have a good game on Monday Night Football. The Chiefs kept him bottled up. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw the Falcons only score 17 points in that game. Against the Chiefs, you know, you saw 13 carries or 16 carries, 31 yards, and one touchdown of 1.9 yards per carry. So, and that was with a banged up offensive line. If the Saints can do what the Chiefs did and take advantage of a Falcons offensive line missing 2 pieces and make sure that Bijan isn't getting after him, like, that's going to be a big key as well.
With DeMario Davis out, obviously we're expecting a guy like Willie Gay to have a more prominent presence in that linebacking group. He talked about Falcons running back Bijan Robinson.
He's a talented back. I mean, yeah. We played one last week. You know, he can make you miss. So you got to make sure your P's and Q's for sure. Just doing your assignment, doing your 111, and like I say, do the ordinary things extraordinarily well, and you'll be all right.
Doing those ordinary things extraordinarily well.
Yeah, and he's a good dual threat back as well. Like, Willie talked a little bit about the shiftiness there, right? But he also can pass catch and make plays in the passing attack.
He's their Alvin.
Yeah, effectively. I don't think he's as good of a pass catcher as Alvin has been in his career. He's a great runner. Like, there's a reason that they picked him in the top 10. 11 catches so far for 89 yards this year. Bijan's going to be a big key. But one thing that also stood out to me about this passing attack, Steve, you know, do you know who's leading them in pass and receiving yards?
Good old Tulane boy.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney. I mean, there was all this hype about Drake London in his first year with Kirk Cousins throwing him the ball. The first time that London's ever had a quarterback. And we've talked ad nauseum about this because we've mentioned it so much with Chris Olave. But the third-year jump for receivers seems to be a thing. And this year, Jameson Williams has taken a big step already for Detroit. Like, that's one of them. But that receiver class is also, you know, Drake London and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, all these guys that we were expecting to take a big step. London hasn't necessarily done it just yet. And London, when he was coming out in the draft, the Mike Evans comps were all over the place.
For sure.
And just a big body receiver, a big guy that can go up and make contested catches and win at the catch point, right? With Drake London so far, it's been solid. He hasn't really established that connection just yet with Kirk. Maybe at some point this season, he'll be their bona fide wide receiver one. I think that's what they're expecting him. I think they expect Darnell Mooney to be, you know, the speedy wide receiver two, as Mike kind of talked about, right?
Right.
But so far, I mean, Darnell Mooney, 169 yards on 18 targets, 12 receptions. Drake London has one more target at 19, 14 receptions, and 136 yards. So he hasn't necessarily defined himself yet as that bona fide wide receiver one for Atlanta that they were hoping that he would be when they took him in the top 10. So same thing as a couple other things we said as far as this offense goes for Atlanta. The Saints defense, you know, you can't let a unit that hasn't gained much confidence yet gain any type of confidence in this game. You got to keep them down.
Yeah, at least with the wide receiver core for the Falcons, you feel pretty confident, obviously, with this Saints secondary, which everybody just marvels at the depth you have here.
Yeah, right. And you feel like you have the advantage there against this Atlanta passing attack, even with, you know, your struggles against tight ends at points throughout, you know, the past couple of years. You feel like you have the advantage in the back end of your secondary versus the Falcons pass catchers.
At least I'll say I think Kyle Pitts has looked more at as a wide receiver instead of your traditional tight end. He's still a big dude, though.
He's a freak. Like, he's an athletic freak of nature. And so, yes, he kind of – you don't want him to be getting after you like Dallas Goedert did, right? And so, yes, you can look at him as a bigger receiver. He basically is. He runs like a gazelle, but he's, you know, built like a mech truck. So it's weird to see someone like that have kind of a slow start to his career, or slow start to the season at least. He had a great start to his career. His rookie season with Matt Ryan was fantastic. And that's why people thought we're buying stock in him in fantasy and stuff like that, was because he finally had a quarterback thrown into him again. Because he went 2 seasons with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. Whereas, you know, now it's a huge step up with Kirk Cousins. And that's why the Falcons were expected to be the NFC South champions preseason. But they haven't gained that confidence yet offensively. They haven't gotten into a rhythm. And there's reasons for that. As we mentioned, the turnover margin for them isn't great. The third down conversion percentage isn't great. Like, their passing attack is okay. Their rushing attack really hasn't gotten going yet either. So it's a unit that's putting the pieces together still. So it's a good time to be playing a team like this because you know what the Saints defense can do. They just got to show up and make sure, once again, that the Falcons offense doesn't gain any type of early season confidence.
Yeah, you kind of look at this and wonder, are we headed for, you mentioned the under earlier on in this matchup, obviously with both offensive lines banged up, really not sure what you're going to get from the offenses, but could we end up, you know, a texter mentioned Blake Groupe, could we end up in a kicker type game here? And obviously the Falcons have a pretty good one in Young Hoku.
He's fantastic. So one of our texters had said, like, they'll win on a Blake Groupe game winner. Maybe we'll get to that, but you don't want to get to that point. Make sure that Koo cannot be the one to beat you. That's what I would say.
We're going to take a break. Coming back with more First Take after this, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. I want to tell everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations, $5,850. Let us push that way over $6,000 after today's game.
We got a text here, Steve, right before we head to the top of the hour and the countdown to kickoff. This is from 7662. Don't sweat it, y'all. We're going to whack the Falcons. I'm with you. Let's get it. I mean, the Falcons are favorite in this game. They're betting favorites for a reason at home. You know, give me the Saints in this one, man. Give me like 27-20.
I like how it says, too, it's going to be one of those Maylocks type games, but we'll have this one in the end, a close one. So let it be written, let it be done. I agree.
Cook the Dirty Birds.
Definitely figure Blake Groupe could be a massive factor in this one when we look at the special teams and it being a tight one. Game winner to take it as we leave Atlanta. Saints improving, hopefully, to 3-1 on the season. Coming up next, Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Make sure you stay tuned right here on WWL.